You're listening to KRUULP 100.1 FM, Fairfield, Iowa.
This is Icon Art Radio. I'm Bill Teeple. I'm here with my co-host, Alan Cobb. Our guest today is Diane Naylor, who is showing in our invitational show at Icon Gallery. The show will be up through the 21st of January, 2012. I'm so happy to have you in the gallery today, talking about your work. I don't know where to start talking about you, because you've always been a creative force in Fairfield. I've always enjoyed your work for many, many years. It's always been charming and creative. That was always something that your work was charming, creative, and like that. But suddenly something happened to you. I don't know what happened. Maybe you just matured as an artist, but it's almost like a lightning bolt from the heavens came down and hit you, because you're now making work that is like mythic, unbelievably strong images and poetic statements that has just taken this new level. And I'm not the only one that feels this way. Galleries all over the place are asking for her work. She showed up in Cedar Rapids, and she showed in at the Quad Cities, I think, and then you just showed work in Florida. I don't know what you're just every oh the Boulder did I just say that no you've been picked up by a gallery in Boulder, Colorado, right on Pearl Street there. Probably there's some good potentials for sales in that place as opposed to Fairfield, and
I don't know,
I'm so happy that your work is getting out there. But the explosion doesn't surprise me, because the work has it's got juice, and it's got a deep poetic statement that hits me to the core, and I love it.
Well, thank you.
I don't know where you want to begin.
Well,
can talk a little bit about this Compassion series that's at Icon Gallery right now.
Sure. I'm doing a series of different animals, and it's not just about the animals per se, but the being or the essence of them. I'm wanting to inspire others to be kind and compassionate, not just to others, but to all beings, all sentient beings, which does include animals. My belief system is that every four-legged, two-legged, those that swim and crawl, and the winged ones, they all have a soul. Because of this, for my deep concern and compassion for evolution, I created this series, and I think that's maybe what that lightning bolt is, because I've been an artist since I was a little wee one. I knew in kindergarten, then they come up to me and they say, what are you going to be when you grow up? And I said, well, I'm an artist now. And they said, no, what are you going to be when you grow up? Well, I'll be an artist then too. So I knew immediately what my dharma was. But it's taken quite a while to mature and shed those layers of karma to really see what my true purpose is beyond just being an artist. There's always the questioning, am I an artist? What am I doing this for? Am I on the right track? But once the layers started to peel off, first through TM, of course, Transcendental Meditation, then my heart softened and I started to feel my true self being. And then once I found the Tao with my three sacred treasures, with that, it has opened the chakra to where my soul is. The door is always closed when we're born, and that chakra isn't opened, usually. So once that door was opened, boom, it was like the lightning bolt that came down, and I realized I had a strong purpose to not only just go out there and show the world, oh, this is my experience in unstressing and showing what I've been through, any traumas or difficulties in expressing that, but I realized I have a responsibility for not just what I feel inside, but for the viewers and for the children of the world, the ones that are going to lead this world. And as a TMer for many years, I didn't paint, actually, with that realization, of responsibility. And then once the Tao came in combination with the TM, it just was like that lightning bolt. And all I have to do is focus to where my soul resides. And I have that deep connection, that strong, like the high-speed internet, the great cable to God. And with that, I am then the tool. Just like all of the artists are in the world, we have a responsibility, but we have to connect to the source and the being, and the essence of being. With that comes what the Creator wants to show. So I opened myself up, and that's kind of what's happening right now, is I'm wanting to create these beings, whether they're four-legged, whether they're winged ones, whether they're two-legged, it doesn't matter. To me, I realize there's a soul inside there, and I want people to realize this is very important to create peace, to create nonviolence, non-extinction for these animals so that they can evolve into the next lifetime. To have a human body is very precious. It's like gold. And with an animal that evolves for them to eventually become in the human form, that is the ultimate. How else can we become illuminated? How else can we have that ultimate goal? So that's the whole thing. Vegetarianism, it's an indirect way of non-killing. I have a good friend of mine that's a carnivore, and before I even wrote the book, she got inspired from the paintings, and that to me was a really beautiful thing. If I can help influence one person and create beauty at the same time and help people in a subconscious way to evolve, I feel that is the ultimate.
Well, one of the remarkable features about them all is the eyes.
Oh.
Because the eyes are obviously the gateway to the soul, and you feel that it's the same one being that's inside all of them, you know, in these
Thank
different
you.
Forms. And the eyes do it for me.
Thank you. Yeah, that's a lot of the different animals. I did focus on their eyes. And a lot of them, I consciously made them light-colored eyes because most of the animals have the brown eyes with a different pupil, but I wanted to create that human essence
right.
inside them.
Well,
so
it works.
Thank you.
And so it makes us identify personally with the soul inside those entities in your paintings. Now, do the images just, like, it's such a, each one is such a unique combination of poetic images. Does that whole thing come to you, or does it kind of like unfold as you start working?
Well, I can tell you this. I took a vacation to Colorado, and I was sending out portfolios while taking a vacation to different places. And of course, the beauty of the mountains were very inspiring. And once I came back, I was, of course, inspired to make a bear. I didn't go to one town in Colorado that didn't have a sculpture of a bear. So I thought, a bear, I'm going to make a bear. So here's where the human comes in and says, this is what I'm going to do. And I go to sit down to make a bear. And I'm thinking, brown bear, right? Colorado, big rugged bear. What happens is I end up doing a series of three bear pictures, but they were panda bears. And I was like, panda bears? You got to be kidding. No, they're panda bears. And those actually, once I got picked up by a gallery, I sent them pictures of the images, and they said, we want those. I said, are you sure? He goes, we want those as soon as they're finished. And I was amazed because I actually created them for Fairfield. They were, there's a large panda bear with his son next to him, and they're floating on like a Persian carpet in the air in a bamboo forest. They're looking straight forward at a lotus with a fish swimming near it, and the the big Papa Bear has his eyes closed, and you can see he's transcending, and the little baby bear is looking straight ahead with his eyes in awe at the lotus opening. So that one represented the transcendence, of course. And then the one in the center is this, it's like a baby, it's not really a panda, it's like a white bear. I felt I wanted to make something as pure as possible. And of course, white came to my mind, and I made this white baby bear with floating in the air with little goldfish swimming around him. And then the shadows that are cast below him are shadows of birds. So that actually represents the gap of creation. So although you see these images, you don't know exactly what it's going to manifest into in the earth world. And then the third one next to it is another large panda bear, but this is the transcendence in action. So he's floating on an Indian sari, and he has a flute in his hands, or paws, excuse me, and he's blowing into that, and there are little Chinese lanterns coming out and floating in the air. And underneath are two koi fish meeting secretly in love underneath the Indian sari. So that is the manifestation, or that is the relative of the earth plane.
So you're sitting in front of the blank canvas or whatever, and we'll talk more about technique in a minute, but
okay.
The creation is about to happen. You're
right.
Going to do a brown bear
That's
inspired
what I'm
by Colorado, mm-hmm.
right.
And all of a sudden you start painting white pandas, black and white pandas, and koi fish, and did you just
bamboo.
Come to mind? Does it come to mind, I'm going to put koi in now?
But
there's a symbolism that it's like symbolic internal thinking, so that the images are kind of a symbol
right.
of an internal dynamic.
Exactly.
And it's sort of, all of this is sort of like poetically emerging, it seems like, as you're painting.
It does. It just kind of happens. It's kind of like when people fall in love. They're not like, okay, at exactly this Tuesday at 7:45 in the evening, I'm going to meet my, soulmate, and then we're going to hook up, then eventually we'll have a family in the year of such and such.
Right.
It tickles me when I hear people planning when they're going to actually, what year they're going to have kids. But so I'm sitting there, and it just happens, like true love.
Right.
It just happens, and there's really no thought process involved, except once it starts going, I might think transcendence, and then the seed falls, and then everything just kind of lands that way. But the specifics don't always work. It has to be very...
Yep. No, it sounds like the creative process to me.
Yeah, it's definitely mystical and a miracle when it happens, but it just, they're like, how do you do it? I really don't know. I'm just the tool for God.
But let me just say to those who have just tuned in, because a lot of people jump in their car and turn on the radio, and then they wonder who's talking. It's Diane Naylor, and I'm Bill Teeple, and I'm with Alan Cobb, and we're Icon Art Radio, and we're interviewing one of the artists that's showing right now at Icon Gallery on KRU FM 100.1. I don't know if it's proprietary, because you have that right, because the way that people work with mixed media today, you don't want to give away necessarily. You want people thinking, how are they made? You don't really want people thinking, how is this made? You want people to be getting the poetic impact
of
the thing. And so, there's so much like mixed media today of all of the different range, everything from painting, traditional painting techniques, through all kinds of digital and technological introductions and reproduction elements in work. Yours is what we might call mixed media with oil paint.
Yes.
All right. So do you want to say anything more about the process?
Sure. I was like... all I needed was a recorder at the opening, because that question came up so many times, and so I'm used to talking about it now. For me, it's very simple. I start to create sketch or paint, and then I scan it in, and then I find what I need to tighten or refine, and I enlarge it or I shrink it down. And if I enlarge it, then I'm saving a ton on paint. So then that is then printed out on paper and adhered to a wooden panel. Then again, I recreate it and add the touches of layers and layers of different oils, and that's why it looks kind of opalescent from the different layers. And there's probably, it depends on the painting, but there's at least 5 layers. And then the sides have about 3 because I have to gesso them. There's an under coating of color, and then I put a black coating over top of that, and I etch in the words all the way around the painting a quote that actually couples up with the painting, that matches it. And they're usually from notables like Buddha, Lao Tzu, Confucius, and some people that are in the field of show business like Robert Redford or Richard Gere. They're on their own humble path, in, even though they're in Hollywood. These are then scratched in with a feather. I use a plume like an old-fashioned writer would use many, I don't know how long ago, where they didn't have regular ballpoint pens, but I scratch it in, and it just takes me back to a different time. The feathers, of course, are found feathers. I wouldn't even buy something like that. And there's tons of them out at the reservoir from the Canadian geese that fly through. So I have an abundant supply of feathers to use. So it is a process. There are many layers. It takes a while, but the top coat on the very top of it is actually a medium that I use that most artists would just use in place of linseed oil. But I actually like to coat the top of it with it. It's a Gamblin product. I, years ago, wanted to work with resin, but the more I researched it, the more I was hesitant to, because everything we work with, there's something toxic for an artist, be it oils or whatnot. But resin is so lethal.
There's hardly anything as toxic as resin. My professor at Berkeley died of
toluene poisoning.
Liver failure. And you know, he worked with resins.
Resins are tough. They can cause leukemia.
So I'm glad you're using Gamblin instead of resin on top. But I can see the desire to have that look. But you've come up with that look
I found an avenue where I could use something different. The resin appealed to me from the artist Mame Kratz, and she is in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I couldn't reach her. I remember trying to connect with her to talk with her how she did that. And I connected with a resin artist in Colorado who was only 28 but did amazing work. And she wouldn't give me the recipe of how to use resin, but she did tell me I needed a certain helmet. I needed to have a certain high-powered fan, a good studio, so that this fan could suck out all of the toxic air that this, and I basically sounded like I'd be on the moon with a suit.
It's like that.
With no recipe.
Yeah, that's the only safe way to do it.
And she goes, otherwise you can get leukemia. And I went, okay.
Okay, I'll go for leukemia.
Okay, how bad do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Are you going to die for this? And so that's where I just kind of went, all righty, I'll find something else. And, but I've always been a painter. So this, was just a way to just...
Well, I love the combination of elements, and you have, what I like is that you've taken anything at hand to get the image to have its full power, and it's all about the image and that it, you know, that thing that's trying to get out from inside of you, and you're kind of a testament to how much is available out there in ways of working to get at your image. You don't have to just rely on only oil paint or acrylic paint nowadays.
Right.
There's all kinds of ways of working things through the computer, printing out and painting on top of, and all of these different things. And of course, the bottom line is it a powerful, moving image that's good for the world, and that's what's in your work.
Thank you.
And also there's a timeless feeling. When you talked about the feather, I thought, wow, that is great, because your work doesn't look like it fits any particular time period. It's,
awesome.
It's contemporary, but it also seems to harken back to the old masters and to deeper, more primitive things. The scratching of the words on the side goes back to the scratching on stones to make a statement back in the Neolithic era. And it's sort of like all time periods are included, so it's timeless.
Thank you. I my earlier series, the Labyrinth series, is where I started up utilizing the feather, and all of the backgrounds are very dark, and that actually represented the Black Plague to, and then I put forms of shells and berries and very small pieces of nature that we go past and we take them for granted, and that was the beginning where I was telling, I was trying to portray to people in a subtle way that this is what could happen if we don't respect our Earth. Only the Black Plague, but against our planet, which of course would affect us. And it just, it was my first attempt to make some sort of statement, but it wasn't enough. It was so dark, and it felt like the 17th century when I was working on it. Even though the Black Plague, I think, was in the 13th or 14th century, it felt somewhere way, way back. And I definitely pulled myself there when I was working. I could feel it. It was beautiful, but it was frightening at the same time because it was not an easy time. So the next series, I thought, was going to be the same thing with white backgrounds.
Right.
There's a human self.
Yeah.
It's like, I know what I'm going to do. And then this series developed, and it was like the breaking of light through the clouds. It was the essence of light rebuilding what has ever been tarnished. It was the essence of respect for the divine in each being. So I can tell you what I'm going to do next, but honestly, I could be lying because I don't really know until I start. It's the Creator that moves me. So.
Well, the process, like so many others, is one of taking a correct angle and letting go.
Yes. The journey's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The journey's great.
It's sort of incumbent upon us to start something. But then as soon as we start it, we have to recognize that with each step, it's a whole different ball game.
True.
But you have to be sensitive as the artist to realize you're a vehicle, that you've prepared
your
vehicle and you've taken a direction, and now it's a mysterious and magical thing that happens there.
Well, that's the wonderful paradox.
To continue performing action, and yet now you're not the author quite anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's how can we possibly perform action without being the doer?
Yeah, it's a mysterious
and yet thing. We can, and we do.
We can try to control
whether we like to or not.
Nature or the Creator actually is the true magician in the whole process. And I tell you what, the journeys I've taken with this series have just been so blissful. It's like I'm in that world.
Well, everyone responds. Since we hung one of your paintings in that last show, right by the door, everybody just, their jaws dropped as they walked through the door. These images are very powerful and affecting to everyone. So I was very pleased when you allowed us to show more at this show.
Well, in all honesty, Bill.
And we want to show more in the future.
Thank you. Thank you. In all honesty, I really didn't want to approach you over the years because I realized my earlier work wasn't mature enough. I wanted to have something that was substantial for your gallery because of my respect for you and the icon.
Thank you. I do this as a curator. If we show maybe two or three artists a year, maybe we'll do two or three solo or two or three person shows, and there's hundreds of artists in Iowa, and I think of myself as kind of like the person responsible for nourishing the artists of the region, and so I have my eye on it all. And I keep finding more and more artists, and their evolution as an artist is the dearest thing to me.
Aww.
And I can't necessarily put everybody in the gallery and say, this is the winner and this is a loser. They're all dear to me.
Aww.
And so what I'm doing is I'm sort of like biding my time until it's a certain kind of artist's work is ripe, or the moment says, this work fits into a certain show or something. Mm-hmm. But you're one of those that I have been watching for a long time and always wanting to put in some way. And we put a few in the past, but it was that feeling that it's not ripe yet.
Right.
Which is exactly what you're saying.
The fruit hasn't fallen from the tree.
And then when I saw this, it was like ready for picking and eating.
Yay.
And it was a pleasure that you could put them in the gallery at this time.
I was very excited. I had to ship a lot of them out to Colorado that were actually supposed to be in the show. But the great thing about that is, even though I felt bad, it pushed me. As soon as I had to let go of this, my first elephant that I made that had the painted face like an Indian elephant would have, the red paint, saffron colored on his face, and he's sitting on this boulder over an ocean or a lake. And guess what? Boulder, Colorado wanted it. As soon as they got a few of them, they called and said, we want two more. And I went, you're kidding. Because they take forever to dry. I said, I've got some in process, but it'll take like 3 weeks. And I said, well, wait a minute. I think I do have an elephant that has been in a gallery, and I think I can ship that out. So once I let go of that, I could feel a little bit of a strain. I knew Bill liked this. I knew there were other people that wanted to see that elephant. And I woke up the next day and I saw in my mind's eye in meditation a white elephant, even more pure than the Indian elephant that I'd made before. More pure because he had no paint on his face. He was the elephant that came to Iowa. His shadow in the background has a shadow of a tornado that's casting a little bit of a dust bowl underneath it. The elephant is walking on a stage. There is a ladder in front of him, which represents the ladder of progress. The shadow is an Eiffel Tower. And the Eiffel Tower represents the shadow of the
And it's a remarkable board. Image. I wouldn't mind having that in the icon collection.
Yeah.
I would love for you guys to go for that.
We've run out of time.
I see
it. It's been such a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.